Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Clarence Carter, Director of the District of Columbia's Department of Human Services. Also joining us from IBM is Stuart Vansky. Clarence, leading an agency in the district is unique in that you play the role played usually by state and local governments, and sometimes with congressional oversight, which I'm sure is always fun. Does that pose a unique complication for DHS, and what are some of the complications and issues you field?
Michael, the truth is it actually really poses some unique benefits in that there is not that additional layer. In most places, there is first the federal government, then the state, then the locality. In some instances, you may even have the county in that. And so each of those layers have their own set of rules or other complications they bring to it. Well, in the district, you can deal with both of those at the city and state level. So we don't actually have an extra set of complications. And the other, I think, value that that I don't understand, or at least is my perception, that has not been mined the way it could be, that we are working to mine here, is the proximity to the federal apparatus, in that we want to demonstrate this person-centric model of this human services system. Well, because all of our federal partners and their rules are right down the street and around the corner from us, we can actually sit with them and have them help us design a package of waivers that allow us to model this system. So because of our proximity to the federal government, we believe we can very much be a laboratory for actually reinventing the system. So while there is uniqueness to this configuration, I think it actually provides some benefits.
We talked a little bit earlier about the goal of programs and self-sufficiency. What lessons have you learned, or do you think the agency has learned, about from welfare reform and its attempts to move clients in need to self-sufficiency?
I think, Stuart, that the most important component of moving folks to self-sufficiency is intentionality. Okay, that must be your objective. And with that being your objective, you will then figure out how to achieve that objective. And quite frankly, it's been my argument that that really hasn't been the intention of the system. And so if we can agree that it is our intention to move that individual or family beyond, then that will allow us to figure out how to reconfigure our system, how to test our system, how to measure our system on achieving that objective.
If I can, and then how to target, I think what you're saying is also how to target resources and services more effectively, so you're spending money and time on the things that move people to self-sufficiency and not spending money and time on the things that don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So on a related note then, how do you see technology as being able to enhance the service delivery and to improve client outcomes and to help move people to self-sufficiency more effectively?
In significant ways, because as I've argued earlier, because of the construct of our existing system, this aggregation of individual programs and agencies, it is not easy for us to be able to pull all this stuff together. Well, technology actually allows us to do that, and allows us to do that, one, without having to rip and replace existing systems. The evolution of technology has allowed us to, through things like middleware, connect the systems so that instead of us ripping and replacing numbers of systems, we can link them together and I can find the customer amongst all of those systems simply by linking them together. So this sort of person-first approach that I've talked about, while the legal and regulatory construct of the human services system doesn't currently support it, technology actually allows us to operate in that fashion. So it's a huge benefit to us while we try to build the bridge to tomorrow to actually make the system constructed this way.
Well, speaking about the bridge to tomorrow, I'd like to transition to the future. And what are some of the major opportunities and challenges you see your agency facing in the future? And how do you envision it addressing those challenges?
Michael, I think the major challenge is twofold. It is first convincing the policymakers that the construct of our system of human care is a broken construct, and that it does not, in the best way possible, serve socially and economically challenged people, so that the construct of that system must change. That's the first thing, making that case. Then the second difficulty is the reconstructing of a system to do so. Right? I think those are the two biggest challenges facing our industry today. I think that there is a sense that our human services system fails because there's not enough money, fails because there's not enough will. Okay? I would be honest with you, I think we don't achieve the objectives that we want to achieve because we have a failed construct. And explaining that and getting the groundswell that would allow for the massive change that has to take place in this system, I think is the greatest challenge confronting the system over the course of the next 3 to 5 years.
A very compelling perspective. I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to someone thinking about a career in public service, and in particular, those interested in working in human service delivery?
Michael, the advice that I would give folks is that there is an emerging perfect storm that I think will dramatically change this industry over the course of the next 3 to 5 to 7 years. I would suggest that for anyone who wants to get in to this line of work, that they would be getting in on the ground floor of changing the system, and that the time could not be better to get into it. Now, I would say that with one caveat. If indeed one needs to have a well-functioning, everything thought out kind of operation, this is not the place to be for a while, because it's going to be very chaotic, okay? But if you're an architect, if you want to build a system of care, I think this is the place to be. This industry is the place to be for the next 5 to 7 years.
Clarence, that's terrific advice. I want to thank you for joining us today. But more importantly, Stuart and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the District of Columbia and to those most in need.
Michael and Stuart, thanks an awful lot for the opportunity. I care passionately about this work, and I just believe that we can do better by that individual or family that finds themselves in need of the basic assistance that we provide to help make their lives work. And so while we want to continue to be diligent to providing those benefits, goods, and services that we have available to us right now, we want to be equally as diligent about raising the flag, raising the collective voice that we can do better as a safety net for those people that desperately need us. It's been my pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Clarence Carter, Director of the District of Columbia's Department of Human Services. My co-host from IBM has been Stuart Vansky. And be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.